He is the most beautiful boy she's ever seen. More beautiful than Valentino or Errol Flynn or Lindbergh. She crosses herself when she sees him sailing his slim racing yacht up and down the Fleet Rock Channel with Peter Dumont, because of the danger and because of the way the sun glints on his blonde hair, an effect so brilliant she observes it all the way from the little bluff at the top of West Cliff Road, where she goes to watch them in the afternoon. In her imagination, the sun is anointing Mr. Fisher as its own, and only the devil himself could plant such a blasphemous thought in her head. So she crosses herself. Today, Tia Maria needs her in the store, however, so there is no need for guarding oneself against the devil. The families have been arriving on Winthrop Island for the summer, one by one, by ferry and by private yacht, and so Bianca and her cousins must fill the shelves with the goods Tio Manuelo has ordered from the mainland. Canned peas and canned peaches and canned sardines in olive oil, saltine crackers and Campbell's tomato soup, Ivory soap and Clorox bleach, Ovaltine and Quaker oats and cornflakes, cantaloupe and pippin apples and bananas, Morton's salt and Ceylon cinnamon, bags of flour and sugar and Calumet baking powder, Pond's cold cream and Listerine and aspirin, lots of aspirin, gardening gloves and razor blades, distilled white vinegar that is really vinegar, distilled white vinegar that is not really vinegar but kept on a shelf behind the wooden counter for particular customers, whom Tio Manuelo serves himself. The weather turned hot this week, the first week of June, and even though Tia Maria keeps the door wide open to usher in the salt breeze from the harbor, the atmosphere remains stuffy and smells of sawdust. Bianca stacks the soup cans in neat, long rows, tomato and vegetable and cream of mushroom, because canned soup is very popular with the families for some reason. She prefers the soups Tia Maria makes from scratch and simmers all day in an iron pot on the stove, full of herbs and vegetables and shellfish, whatever's fresh from the sea. But the families like their food bland, apparently. Bland and stale and rich, just like themselves. She crosses herself when she thinks this. The families are the island's lifeblood, after all, and Tio Manuelo makes all his profit in the summer from cans of soup and boxes of saltine crackers. But it's true. Except for young Mr. Fisher, of course. There's nothing bland or stale about him. She knows all about him. He lives in a rambling house not far from the village, all by itself overlooking Fleet Rock, and so new that, in certain corners shielded from the weather anyway, the cedar shingles haven't yet faded to gray. The family is not quite so distinguished as those who live at the other end of the island, the eastern end, where the Winthrop Island Club and its magnificent golf course stretch out over 100 precious green acres. The Fisher money is too new, Tio Manuelo says sagely over dinner, but give it time. Money ages with remarkable speed. Already Mr. Fisher has been to Harvard, where he became friends with the sons of all the correct families, such as Peter Dumont. There's even a rumor going about that Mr. Fisher became engaged over Easter to Peter's sister, Abigail. But Bianca refuses to believe this. For one thing, Abigail Dumont is 25, 3 years older than Mr. Fisher, and for another thing, she's tall and wide-shouldered and has no breasts, no feminine qualities at all, a loud, braying voice like a well-bred donkey. While the newspapers call Miss Dumont things like magnetic and incandescent, Bianca's certain that Mr. Fisher has better taste than that. He spends his mornings on the cliffs between the village and Greyfriars. Greyfriars is the name given to the new Fisher house, for what reason nobody can imagine, other than the color of the cedar shingles as they fade, spends his mornings, that is, with his watercolors and his books, so beautiful that Bianca sometimes cannot even breathe when she sees him there, legs swinging dangerously over the cliff's edge, his perfect brow compressed in concentration. She knows many other things. She knows his exact height, 5'11½", and the color of his eyes, as blue as the Mediterranean Sea, and his prowess at sailing, of course, but also at hockey, he was the team captain at Harvard, and at golf, at which he won the Winthrop Island Club Championship last summer, the first summer of the Fisher family's membership.